Hey guys, this is Hope from Jay Guys and Jedi. What you're about to hear is a podfic. It is a podcast of a fanfiction that I'm going to be reading to you. It is my own fanfiction. I've talked about it on the show before, called The Lucky Lucky. It's over on Archive of Our Own. And the reason I'm doing this is because I realized I haven't done any major audio editing in years. I've done like minor audio editing here and there, but I haven't done anything big. And if you listen to the show, you'll know that Chris takes care of the audio editing and I write the outlines. So I wanted to have a chance to knock the rust off my audio editing skills and just to get back into it and do the thing. So yeah. So I decided to use just one of my own fanfics, something to read. And I hope you like it. If you like it, I might do future chapters. This is going to be just chapter 1 and 2, because chapter 1 is relatively short. But last but not least, I am not a voice actor. I don't claim to be a voice actor. I'm going to do the best I can with accents and voices, and you guys can laugh. Or I might just read it straight. We'll see how it goes. So, yeah, enjoy! The Lucky Leku by Hope Molinax. Chaos Lydia on Archive of Our Own. Chapter 1, The Mission. They were the Lucky Lucky, the greatest pop band the galaxy had ever seen. Three Twi'lek men gifted with their voices to spread messages of love and unity. Every night when they stepped out on stage in sold-out arenas, they were the center of the universe. Fans flocked to whatever planet they went to, causing mass chaos and pandemonium. Their screams could be heard for miles around, only drowned out by the sultry songs mixed with techno upbeat music. The Lucky Lucky danced their hearts out for their followers. The lights, the noise, the pacing, the love all around them. Their songs once focused on spending a fun weekend with a girlfriend or partying until dawn. But now, their target was spreading love against hate, bringing awareness to the oppressive government and their harms to planets like Ryloth, and being public voices for those too scared to speak. They were a musical force to be reckoned with, and the Empire couldn't touch them. Lane opened the door to the green room after another successful concert, and picked up a towel to wipe the sweat from his forehead and Leku. He was careful not to mess up the carefully weaved beads that adorned his teal headtails. The costume designer worked so hard on them. "Are you insane?" Esten, the green-skinned member of their group, stormed in just behind him. A bit of dark jade filled his cheeks as he huffed, "You can't end a show by screaming, 'Take it to the Bucketheads! You're gonna get us killed!'" "Come on," Lane flopped back in a chair and snatched up a bottle of sparkling water. "It was just a saying, and the crowd loved it." Their lilac third member, JJ, shut the door and crossed his arms. "I have to agree with Esten on this one. Some of those bucketheads are part of our security detail for the next city. You can't just say things like that." Lane rolled his eyes. "I didn't realize you loved the Empire so much. Didn't stop you from writing Cinda's Tears of Starlight?" Esten stood over him. "It's one thing with JJ writing music. It's easier to hide those things when it's art. Art is subjective! I saw some crazy propaganda blog saying that we're celebrating the Empire's power on Cinda. Fine, whatever. If they want to think that way, fine. But saying something so blatant and invoking violence against the Empire is a completely different thing. You're gonna get a shot!" Leaning far back in his chair, Lane glanced around at JJ. "He's being paranoid again." "He's not the only one." JJ took his own seat and rubbed his eyes. "We should put out a statement about it." Lane snorted. "No! Having an opinion isn't wrong." Esten turned suddenly towards the door, like he knew someone was there. He always seemed to know those kind of things. And moments later, the door flung open, and there stood a tall Powan woman in her 70s, quite young for her species, teeth baring and looking like a well-dressed nightmare. It was their manager, Keani, a legend in the music business since the days of the Republic. Deep red hues sunk into her white face as she slammed the door. "You idiots have some explaining to do." Lane did it.
That's been done for you, so you probably do see that.
No, that's fine. Yeah, it's the same.
The SFC team did ask for you to submit.
Agent Callis stared across the desk at Colonel Yularen in complete disbelief. "I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?" Amused, knowing it wasn't a normal request, Yularen sat back in his chair and stroked his mustache. "You heard me correctly. I would like you to infiltrate that music band, the Lucky Leku, posing as a member of their security detail. After the stunt that they pulled in the concert the other night, this kind of blatant disrespect towards the Empire cannot be tolerated. We have already received reports of some of their fans heckling stormtroopers, and one account of a trooper being attacked. Luckily, his armor protected him from getting any serious injuries." "With all due respect, sir, they do have an amount of freedom of speech in music that's protected by Imperial law," Callis stated firmly, though he couldn't believe in the back of his mind he was defending a pop band. Yularen nodded. "Yes, but I haven't told you the other half of your mission. We've noticed patterns in their previous and current tour. After their performances at some planets, small rebel cells have attacked Imperial structures in the days after their departure. The attacks vary in time after they leave, but it has happened on multiple occasions. We have reason to believe that someone in the band or their staff is a rebel spy." "A boy band is a group of rebel spies," Callis raised an eyebrow, not believing the words coming out of his mouth. Yularen's smile grew wider, knowing how ridiculous it sounded. "I know what you're thinking, but we do have evidence from the last 4 years to support it. The attacks have ramped up in this current tour." "Why not just bring accusations against them? Have them arrested, put them on trial. No one is above the law." Callis so firmly set in his morals, Yularen thought. "Because of how wildly popular they are, if something happened to those Twi'lek boys, half the galaxy would riot. That's why this is a reconnaissance mission first. If this is proven false, then those boys can continue to make their trash music all they want. If one of them, or someone on their staff, is in fact a rebel spy, then we must proceed carefully. A staff member can easily be arrested, but if it's one of the band members themselves, then we must be careful. Are you up for the challenge?" Callis sighed heavily, leaning back in his chair. What a silly mission. He wondered if he was the first choice, or if other ISB agents turned down this job. Who wanted to pal around with snobby music artists for months on end as security? But he also understood the nature of this mission. He couldn't deny the popularity of the Lucky Leku. No one could even buy bread from the store without hearing their music playing. Somehow, without trying, Callis knew at least two of their names, pop culture imprinting itself in his memory against his will. He also knew how much money, influence, especially on the younger generations, and power this band truly had. While it sounded stupid on the surface, Callis understood the importance of this mission. Firmly, he nodded to Yularen. "I'm on it." Chapter 2. Lane.
1, 2, 2.
The first week of Callis' undercover mission was far more eye-opening than he thought it would be. Not that he found any evidence of a rebel spy, but for the amount of hard work everyone put it into a music tour. The stagehands could put up and take down an entire stage, run lights and sound tests, repair and create more costumes, and more within a day. It was fascinating to watch, reminding Callis of a well-commanded Star Destroyer. Each person knew their place. Each person knew their job. It was organization and coordination, something that Callis always highly respected. To his further surprise, he didn't realize how hard the Lucky Leku themselves worked. They were constantly participating in sound checks, practicing dance moves, and when they weren't doing that, they were whisked off to interviews with local news stations or speaking at events at the planet they visited. That's where Callus's new job was, as he constantly followed them from place to place, watching from a safe distance as a security guard. He found himself enjoying this part of the job too, watching crowds for any possible attackers. Though unlike the provided Imperial security for the city, he didn't wear stormtrooper armor or any Imperial-regulated uniforms, which was fine. This wasn't his first undercover mission. Instead, he wore regular civilian clothes, except for the security badge with the Lekku's Record Company's logo clipped onto his vest. Today, he was assigned to follow Lane around from one interview to another. The other two, JJ and Esten. Yes, Callus was learning their names. They were tied up in sound tests, and in Esten's case, he was prone to migraines. Their manager, Kiani, insisted that he rested before the show that night. Esten got migraines. Another random fact Callus had learned. Knowledge he would most certainly purge from his mind after this mission. Standing in a television studio as the interview finished, Callus watched as Lane said goodbye to the news anchors before heading to a nearby table. He picked up two water bottles before coming to join Callus. Lane held one out. Here you go, Alex. Oh, Callus took the water bottle. That's quite alright. I don't think you drank anything since we've been here. We're gonna be on the move all day. Hydration is important. Lane shook the water bottle at him, insisting. He noticed something like that. Callus wondered to himself as he took the bottle. Thank you. Satisfied, Lane led him towards the hallway to the green room. Kiani waited for them, before following once he passed. Lane smiled to Callus. I know you're the new guy here. It was really nice of you to fill in last minute when Luke's wife had that emergency. The cover story he used to get in with their personal entourage. Yes, hopefully she'll feel better soon. Lane continued. I know it's crazy jumping into a concert tour right in the middle of things. You're really picking this up fast. I like detailed oriented work, Callus admitted. The security organizers and Miss Kiani have both been quite thorough with briefing me. Kiani snorted. You picked it up faster than Luke did. Hey, Lane frowned. Luke's a great guy. Doesn't mean he's not an idiot, she retorted, her long pawn fingers extended to push the door open for him. Get your things and prepare to leave in 10 minutes. We have one more interview to get to. And she whisked herself away. Callus knew from the first two interviews that morning that she was more than likely checking to make sure their speeder was prepared. Lane didn't have much with him in the green room other than his personal bag, but he did stop to check himself in the mirror to adjust his clothing. He glanced at Callus in the reflection. So where are you from, Callus?
Coruscant.
The nice parts or the bad parts?
The middle parts,
Callus smirked. It wasn't a lie or a part of his cover story, but it's still vague enough. It was mostly safe, but we would have the occasional crime spree that would make my mother shelter me for weeks. Normalcy would return before it all cycled again. Got particularly tense during the Clone Wars.
Well, Coruscant was way safer than Ryloth back then. Lane shouldered his bag before leading him to the door. Not that it's much better now.
There was a tenseness in his voice that lingered over the room. Callus knew he shouldn't go deeper. An agent should never get too personally invested with those he was spying on. But this did present an opportunity to get information from the most vocal of the Lekku boys. Callus said with a heavy tone, I've heard some stories about Ryloth's condition, but from what I can tell, whatever is happening is not known across the rest of the galaxy.
Tell me about it. Lane scoffed and led them out into the hallway.
It's brave of you to speak out like you do.
If we don't speak the truth, Lane's face hardened, then the Empire's lies will continue to spread. My people are starving. Their ancestral homes are being occupied against their will. Parents vanish overnight and their children wake up alone with no one there.
Callus pursed his lips at the thought. He had briefed himself on Ryloth, but all his information was from Imperial sources. The Empire had tightened its grip on the rebellious planet, as it was one of the most vocal against them. While it all sounded horrible, this was the order of things. If the Twi'leks were breaking Imperial law, they must be dealt with in accordance to the rules.
Callus glanced at the singer. Is your family still there? Lane shook his head. No, we have all of our families in safe places. JJ's parents are on Coruscant. Esten's family moved in with his sister, who works on Naboo. My dad and my brother stayed at first, but I finally convinced them to go somewhere else.
And your mother?
She was killed when I was very young during the Clone Wars, he said in a quiet voice. I don't remember her much, but she was a hunter for our village. She chose to fight to help liberate our planet, which is why it makes me so mad that we fell under occupation again. It's like her death wasn't even worth it. Callus slowed his gait a moment, but quickly fell back into step. He opened his mouth, but nothing came out other than a quiet, I'm sorry. Lane smirked. It's why I wrote a song for her. I wanted to honor her legacy. And I have to think as long as I'm speaking out against those assholes, she would be proud of me. Callus was one of those supposed assholes. And as they rejoined Kiani and climbed into a speeder, he sat in the back seat and pondered those words. It was a point of view for sure. He, of course, understood war. He understood that the enemy he always faced believed they were fighting for what they perceived as the right thing. War, at its core, was a clash of ideals from two or more sides. The winner chose the new ideals going forward and set their own laws. It's not like Callus agreed with what Lane told him about Ryloth, but Callus also didn't have proof that these atrocities were happening. For all he knew, it was from rebel propaganda, or from that Syndulla leader who was a known terrorist against the Empire. He watched Lane as they drove across the city. The Twi'lek's Teal'c'u fluttered in the breeze as Kiani drove. He sang a cheesy song on the radio, so loud to the point where Kiani barked at him to save his voice for that night. He was happy, young, and free, in a way that many probably didn't know. But Callus also knew that if people gave the Empire's ways a chance, if they understood that some freedoms have to be lost for protection, then the Empire would work. He looked down at the half-drank bottle of water in his hand. Lane was kind, even if he was frivolous and outspoken. At the last interview of the day, the singer had the TV host howling with laughter. He had a great balance and sense of when to apply humor and when to speak seriously on issues he was passionate about. Then, he would always end on an upbeat note, encouraging fans to take care of themselves. Callus would occasionally find himself chuckling too. Confi Handi, the talk show host, leaned in the final minute and dropped a quick, "Well, that's all well and fine until you're inciting violence against others." Oh, Lane faltered. Callus saw the corner of his eye Kiani tense up. This hadn't been on the list of topics they had been given for discussion. But the singer nodded slowly. "I know. I know what I said a couple weeks ago. And I understand how those words could be taken out of context. The truth is, that wasn't out of context. I do get mad at the Empire. It makes my blood boil knowing what they're doing to my planet. But it didn't make it right what I said. There should never be any circumstances where we incite violence against another person. That is not the lucky way. Those fans acted out of line. But they acted out because of the words I said. And I'm sorry to the Imperials that were attacked and their families. We didn't publicize it, but we did reach out and cover their medical bills." Confi raised an eyebrow. "Really? That's very charitable of you." Lane scoffed. "Have you seen the healthcare plan of lower-ranked stormtroopers? It's terrible, and a lot of people who enlist are people who don't have any other options for jobs. The Empire took their work and their farms or their homes, and they need to make money for their family. And then the Empire sends them to war zones only to cover 11% of their medical bills? That's not a benevolent Empire. That's a cheapskate pinching pennies against their own people. And those not in their ranks are worse." Confi pointed at Lane. "You know we're going to check that stormtrooper number." He winked back. "Please do. Because I did my research when we paid those stormtroopers' medical bills." Callus blinked quickly at the exchange. Lane wasn't wrong. Some of the cases Callus worked on in his early days at the ISB were corruption cases, especially from senators and high-ranked officials who had transferred over from the Republic. They have filed multiple fraudulent claims, and much of the lower soldiers lost benefits, while the wealthy flourished from the money. But as the Twi'lek finished the interview, Talos realized it was such a brilliant and subtle way to rebel. By stating the Empire couldn't even take care of its own men, it raised the question, how would they take care of citizens they were supposed to protect? Talos could imagine soldiers questioning this as well. It could lead to some defectors. That's where Lane's powers were. He was not afraid to speak the truth. He was not afraid to rally for those he thought needed help. Being vocal and speaking out with no fear of repercussions? Well, that was brave. And stupid. Talos hoped spending the day with Lane would help narrow his list of possible rebel spies. But after a speech like that, Talos couldn't say the singer was clear of that. It was this moment that Talos realized his mission was going to be a lot harder than he thought. Thank you so much for listening to The Lucky Leku, Chapters 1 and 2. If you like this, I am currently writing Chapter 3 right now, and if you want me to make more of this podfic, let me know. I did this because I haven't done any big audio editing in years, and I wanted to, you know, knock the rest off, like I said when I opened. So just let me know if you want me to keep making more of this podfic. I would really enjoy doing that. Just some extra things to clean up. All songs used in this have links to them in the show notes. They were all royalty-free or used under the Creative Commons law. So make sure you check out those artists, support those artists, spread their work around, because I love all the pieces that I used in this. Also, very big special thanks to Elisa for the cover art. Elisa, I love your work. You're amazing. I adore you. I've been a fan of you for years, and I just love how you draw Twi'lex. Elisa did the cover art, and her links to all her stuff is in the show notes. I love her to death. Please go support her. She's amazing. She does a fucking awesome comic called Star Wars Destinies that I talked about in the show so many times before when we were doing Clone Wars. So thank you so much to Elisa for creating the Twi'lek, my Twi'lek boys in the cover art. And thank you, Chris, for turning it into a poster. So yeah, Chris, I hope you had a great week off from editing. If you want to stick through to the end, I have outtakes from when I fucked up. So that's at the end of this. But as always, you can find us at twotruefreaks.com. We are JGuys and Jedi. We're part of the Two True Freaks Network. You can find our show there or on Apple is called now and stuff like that. You can check us out on Facebook at the Two True Freaks Facebook page or the Two True Freaks Cantina, where we sit around and shoot the shit. I also run our Twitter page at JGuys and Jedi. You can find me at Hope Molinax on Twitter. I have a website called geekygirlexperience.com, and you can find all my fanfiction at Archive of Our Own under the name of Chaos Lydia. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you loved it. Okay. Enjoy some outtakes. Bye! Outtakes! Instead, he wore regular civilian clothes, except for the security badge with the Leku's Record Company. Instead, he wore regular civilian clothes, except for the security badge with the Leku's Record Company logo. Instead, he wore civilian clothes. Channel my inner Tom Kane. Today in the Clone Wars. Lane did it. JJ and Destin pointed at their bandmate. Yeah. Get it. Rain. Rain on my car. Wash the bird shit off it. Rain. Like Stephen Colbert. Wow, that damn bird just ate that spider right out of the air. You go, bird. That's not a benevolent. While the wealthy flourish. Nom 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 nom.
Done. Oh, that was fun. All right, let's edit some Twilight Boys.